Good afternoon. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Yi. Hope you and your loved ones are well and taking care of yourselves and each other. These are very surreal, scary times. We appreciate you keeping it right here on WGN Radio. We're here for you. Right away, let's go to our expert on the markets. Joining us is Brian Battle. He's the director at the Performance Trust Companies. Hi, Brian. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, G.
Where are we now? Just let's get a take on your assessment.
So we are at a point of indecision. So the stock market's down 2,000 points. You just heard it earlier today. Remember, we were up a bunch on Friday. So what the feeling that we're getting is a lot of this swinging around is the market is trying to price in an event with an undetermined price. So what's not hurting the stock market is the virus. And I would just like to say, I understand there's a human and there's a human toll that will be taken, and I don't want to dismiss that, but we're talking about the economic costs here. So the market's trying to price in what is not the cost of the virus or fear about the virus. The market is trying to price how much is business going to be interrupted, meaning if the public policy response to a virus like this, a global pandemic, is isolation and quarantine. So when people stay home, that means they don't work and they don't consume. So that means businesses have less revenue. That means they have less profit. Therefore, their stock price has to decline. How long this lasts, how many people stay home, is why we keep having this slippage in prices, because it seems like we don't know where the end's going to be or how broad-based this quarantine is going to be.
At this point, where do the markets look for that certainty? The Fed cuts rates to zero, near zero. It doesn't seem to be helping, and monetary policy seems almost exhausted at this point.
That's right, G. Monetary policy is exhausted. The Federal Reserve has very few tools, and so they can cut short-term rates, which they have, and they can also buy bonds in the open market. So effectively, they print money and buy bonds, and that's also happening. So we're in a new era of quantitative easing. But rates being really, really low doesn't reinstill consumer confidence. Remember, about 70% of the U.S. economy is U.S. consumers, is domestic. You and I buying stuff, building things, buying things, selling things. And so consumer confidence has taken a hit. The Federal Reserve might have hurt consumer confidence because they had an emergency cut last week and then announcement over the weekend. So we can't find any relief from the Fed because they're kind of out of bullets. They can't do anything else. I don't know if you feel better about how things are, knowing that your savings account is going to earn zero interest. Where we're going to have to get relief is from elsewhere in Washington, D.C.
So what would be a short-term remedy? You talked about a public policy response, and there's also a possibility of a fiscal relief as well.
That's right, G. So there's monetary policy and there's fiscal policy. Monetary policy, rates are zero. Fed's done everything they can. Really now, what will give us relief and what will give consumers confidence, what would make you feel better? Well, if we could have the House and the Senate and the White House get together and say, here is going to be the economic plan for getting the economy back on its feet or getting us through this transitory period. Remember, this virus is transitory. Sooner or later, there's going to be hot weather and it goes away. There's going to be a vaccine, or it's just going to run its course and it'll be over. Congress, meaning the House and the Senate and the White House included, is going to have us give us some sort of plan to say, during this transition, when things have slowed down, when everybody's home, here's how we're going to keep the economy moving. During the last financial crisis in 2009, we had the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which was $787 billion. It was a bill that came out of Congress. It was thousands of pages long. It described all the things we're going to do to make sure that we didn't suffer from the great financial crisis. I would expect that we are going to get $1 trillion bailout this time because it's Donald Trump. You can't do anything less than the last guy. There's going to be $1 trillion bailout. However, it has to be cohesive. It has to be apolitical. All members of all political stripes have to be in the podium and announce what we're going to do for America. That will give us some short-term relief and put some bid back on the market once we see that Washington is in the game and helping as much as they can.
Speaking with markets expert Brian Battle, Brian, what do you recommend? Are you advocating for a payroll tax cut? Are you advocating that insurance companies forego co-pays? And what about the people that are unemployed during this time?
Yeah, I think the things that we could do are some of the things we did last time. We should extend unemployment insurance, you know, make it easier for people to collect unemployment, make the duration longer. There's a term limit on how long you can collect unemployment. We can stretch that out. The way to get money into the economy and to give people confidence is to hand them cash effectively. So a payroll tax cut would be very effective. What would be ineffective is an infrastructure project. What would be ineffective is long-term things about changing the healthcare system. That doesn't fix anything today. We need a solution, which is how do we get cash in the system and give people confidence? Building a road, which will take 3 years to plan, zone, and then get to it, isn't helpful today. So getting money directly to consumers helped. But really, it's giving the American public confidence that, hey, our government has our back, they have a plan, and here's how we're going to get through this next period of time. The thing we all have to remember is this isn't a U.S. thing, this is a global thing. But there's things that we can do here in the States that give us more room and more runway to cope while this virus wends its way through the global population.
Brian, really quickly before I let you go, it's really counterproductive at this point to look at your 401k by the hour, right?
Well, yeah, don't look at it at the hour. You don't want to be a trader. There's people that do this professionally that can out-trade you. So be an investor. Be like Warren Buffett. Spend all your time concentrating on your investments. Don't worry about what the market does every day. Be a long-term investor. If you have a 401k, you should know what's in there. Hopefully, you have stocks and bonds, because as stocks have gotten hurt, the bond market has rallied like crazy. Your bond portfolio should be improving while your stock portfolio is getting worse. So know what you own. Don't panic, and as Warren Buffett says, be greedy when others are fearful. If you're getting that payroll deduction every month, you are making investments in the stock market at lower and lower prices. So don't be rash. Don't run for the hills, because you might have missed that opportunity. And market timing over the long run really doesn't work. It's really a difficult way to try and be an investor.
Well, I'll take words of wisdom from Warren Buffett any day, and also from you.
Yes,
thanks
right.
So much to Brian Battle,
right.
Director at the Performance Trust Companies. She here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here for you now is Catherine Davis. She's the Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, G. Yeah, of course.
So I am sure that it is not business as usual for all of the Chicago startups that you guys have been covering throughout the year.
No, I mean, you know, it's the situation seems pretty similar to what we're seeing in other industries. You know, startups that I've talked to have shut down their offices, asking all employees to work from home, you know, changing kind of expectations and normal office operations for a lot of people, as, you know, they try to be a little more, I think, conducive to, you know, what people are going through with coronavirus here in Chicago.
I know this was in the news last week, but of course, Grubhub is a local Chicago company that started off as a startup, and they're going to be dropping their commission payments for independent restaurants, right?
That's right. Yeah, Grubhub got together with Mayor Lori Lightfoot last week, also the mayors of New York, San Francisco, Boston, and Portland, to announce that they're dropping commission payments of up to $100 million for independent restaurants, so that, you know, as we see these shutdowns of restaurants and bars in, you know, states like Illinois, hopefully this can help kind of offset the damage that's done to their bottom line as people are, you know, staying at home and not eating out throughout this.
And there's also a Grubhub Community Relief Fund, and folks that are using the service can round up and the money will go towards this relief fund.
That's right. You know, so I think it's really interesting to see Grubhub, you know, really trying to give back to the exact industry that allows it to thrive, right? You know, like Grubhub would be kind of nothing without the restaurants that deliver food on its platform. So, you know, it's nice to see this, and I'm sure that we'll continue to see these kind of efforts from other startups that, you know, work hand in hand with, you know, traditional industries. But, you know, that fund, it allows diners to donate, you know, a certain portion of their order to support restaurants and the delivery drivers that are impacted by coronavirus.
And I know this happened last week, but you've been covering Grubhub since they started. Are you surprised
right.
at all by the CEO? I think it's Matt Maloney, right? His decision to do
yeah.
this?
No, not surprised. I mean, you know, he's someone who's been really active in the in not only the tech community, but sort of the Chicago, you know, business community, and you know, even beyond that. Like, he's, you know, kind of a Chicago guy through and through, and he cares about his community, and he's kind of you know, really showing that with this step.
Would you say that overall, Catherine, that the Chicago tech businesses, the startups that you covered, have kind of been ahead of the curve in terms of being preparing for this? And then also, I feel like their business model is one in which they would be more open to working remotely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of the startups that we know, they have really flexible, you know, vacation policies, work from home policies. They kind of take an innovative approach to what workplace culture looks like. You know, and the other thing is that if you're a tech company, most of what you're doing is digital, right? So, you know, that is, you can do that on a laptop and kind of work from anywhere. The industry just kind of lends itself to that naturally. You know, I think as far as, like, you know, how the businesses will stand is still something that we have yet to see. You know, coronavirus is really impacting the economy, and many of the startups we cover are backed by investors, you know, and a lot of times these companies are working to be profitable and aren't quite yet profitable. And if the economy takes a turn and investor money dries up, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they're affected, right? Because we could see some shutdowns, we could see layoffs. These are kind of things we anticipate with this kind of situation.
And when the markets are down like this, is this when there's a lot less investment in general in VCs and startups?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was talking to a VC last week, and, you know, he was like, you know, we try to give the best advice that we can to our portfolio companies, but at the end of the day, like, some hard decisions are probably going to have to be made. People are going to have to tighten expenses, you know, and just be more thoughtful about how they are spending if they want to survive.
Catherine Davis, she's the associate editor at Chicago Inno. I know that you're on the pulse. Have you heard anything at all about layoffs or anything so far?
So nothing about layoffs so far. You know, I have a lot of people reaching out to me just saying, like, here's how we're trying to manage a staff remotely. And, you know, this is how we've, you know, come to, you know, be more flexible with employees with kids and who are parents. And, you know, it's kind of the day-to-day stuff that we're hearing about right now. But, you know, if this lasts, if like a shutdown like this lasts for a couple weeks or even into a month, I think we'll start to see the real impact of how this affects businesses' bottom line.
And it's not just offices that are closed. Of course, a lot of these companies have really big investor meetings, events. What have you been hearing about in terms of cancellations?
Yeah, so, you know, earlier this month, right at the beginning of March, when coronavirus was, you know, still considered something containable, Oracle canceled its big conference that it has in Chicago every year. Salesforce is slated to have a three-day conference in May, and they have transform that into a completely virtual experience. So there will be no in-person event anymore. But, you know, that Connect event, as they call it, is something that happens every year. It attracts thousands of people. I mean, last year, like, Gwen Stefani was the performer. I mean, it's a huge event. People really look forward to it. So, you know, but at this point, I think people are just, they can't have events. So that's where we're at.
In terms of a roundup of different companies that you're hearing about that are closing offices and working remotely, any interesting anecdotes?
Yeah, so Spot Hero, a startup we've talked about here on the show before, and also one people are pretty familiar with. They have the parking app that lets you find convenient parking spaces around Chicago and other big cities as well. And, you know, they asked their 200 employees to work from home starting last Friday. You know, it was just kind of a safety thing at that point. They didn't want to expose their employees to, you know, the virus or, you know, any other stressful situation. Sitter City is a Chicago babysitter marketplace startup. They also are asking all their employees to work from home. Cameo has similarly shut down their office for the next 30 days. So, you know, and even at Chicago Inno, we've shut down their office. I'm working from home today. So, you know, it's just kind of across the board in tech.
Have you heard any concerns at all about productivity and how to, you know, make sure that deadlines and all of that is being met?
Yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of coverage on this, actually from, you know, some other publications that are like, you know, this is the best way to work from home, or like, this is how I'm setting up my workstation and how I'm staying focused with, you know, even with kids in the background or my partner nearby, or, you know, working in a small space when I'm used to a spacious office. You know, I think people are just doing the best that they can. I saw an anecdote on Twitter about, you know, Best Buy has had one of its best best weeks or months, because people are in there buying laptops and monitors and, you know, trying to create a home office.
That home office that they want to write a tax write-off on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay. I know that you will keep us abreast of everything that's going on. We'll check back in with you next week. Thanks so much to Catherine Davis, Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. And your website is?
Yeah, you can find us at chicagoinno.com, and there you can sign up for The Beat, which is our daily email newsletter.
Well, fantastic. Thanks, Catherine. Stay well and stay healthy. Okay, see you soon.
Yes, you too, G.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. Elise Glink is joining us now. She is the CEO of Best Money Moves, and her website is thinkglink.com. She's a real estate expert. She's also a personal finance expert. Hi, Elise.
Hi, G. It's a crazy day out there.
I know. It's just, it's going to be a little bit before we're through this, which is why I'm glad that we're talking to you today. We're going to talk, of course, about coronavirus, but another aspect of it is just sort of the financial stress that everyone is going to be under, especially hearing about so many people that are going to be unemployed or without paychecks.
Well, I think it's really scary, right? We're looking at our first recession in 10 years. There's a whole generation of people who have never gone through that, that are now in the workforce. And, you know, even just the memories of what went on 10 years ago are bad enough. And yet I think what's happening now is much worse and is going to portend a much larger global recession than anybody had even anticipated. And that's terrifying for people who are depending on, you know, income every day from their jobs, tending bar or being a waitress or in the airline or hotel travel industry. We've got oil and gas issues and problems there with what's going on between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And so it does feel like the whole world is on assault right now.
I've been talking to a lot of rideshare drivers, Uber, Lyft. They said they're not getting as many rides, and a lot of drivers do that for their full-time gig as well.
They do. In fact, I was in Boston on my very last trip for what will probably be the next 8 or 9 weeks. And, you know, I travel all the time. It's not right now. And what we're, you know, my Uber driver said exactly the same thing. You're my fourth ride today. Normally, I would have had about 30 at this point. So it hits, you know, it hits even harder because it takes an average of about 2.3 jobs per household to make ends meet these days.
Really?
And as you rightly noted, yep, about 80% of people in the U.S. are already living paycheck to paycheck. When you start to lose those sidekick incomes, or, you know, you used to think, well, I could just go drive for Uber or Lyft, but even that's not playing out so well right now.
Okay, so financially, of course, it's natural to be under stress. You can't help but be stressed out during these very eerie, it's a very surreal time. But of course, stress doesn't really help your situation.
Financial stress is so awful. And if any company HR person isn't thinking about how employees are feeling right now, they are out to lunch. And I know that they're worried about coronavirus, and everybody's trying to get whoever can work from home to work from home. But being at home all day and looking around your house just can make people extremely financially stressed, especially if they're worried about a partner or a spouse losing their jobs or losing some part-time income. Kids are also home now, and so if you maybe were on lunch programs, now you're feeding kids an extra meal or two a day, and that also can raise levels of financial stress. And so employers have to really understand people are losing jobs, they're worried about losing their jobs, they're worried about their spouses and partners losing jobs. All of that adds up to financial stress.
What are some of the things that can help alleviate the financial stress?
Well, certainly one thing to do is if you think that you can't make your payments right now, you should contact your creditors. And so banks including Capital One, Chase, Citi, and Wells Fargo are already urging their customers who are facing economic hardship to contact them and see what they can work out in terms of payments. Credit unions are offering assistance and loan help. You may be able to sign up for a hardship plan as well. That could also mean lower interest rates. If you've got a utility payment that you're trying to make, you can always reach out locally to your utility companies and see if there's an energy bill assistance program for ComEd that might be able to, that you would qualify for, that would help push out your bills. And then finally, for people who have student loans or mortgages, you may want to contact your lender and ask about forbearance. Federal student loans, there's a forbearance crisis available. Let me say that again. If you have a federal student loan, the forbearance may be available to you, and what they're doing is waiving interest for the duration of the crisis, or they will put you on an income-based repayment plan, and that could lower your payments maybe down to zero. With a mortgage, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are also looking at forbearance options and other things that they can do to relieve people while this is going on.
So we've heard a lot about the Federal Reserve lowering the borrowing cost to near zero yesterday. Is there a silver lining at all in any of this, and how does that affect people's, you know, credit card interest rates? Is it going to help at all?
It remains to be seen. Credit card interest rates might go down a tad, but you know, I've been asked questions at thinklink.com about whether people should refinance or continue to go through with a purchase if they were about to buy a home.
With mortgages.
And with mortgages, you know, I think that in terms of if, you know, just for people who are out there looking at homes and you've bought a home and now you're supposed to close on the home, remember there are penalties in your contract that if you don't go through with that purchase, that may come back to haunt you. You may lose your down payment. You may lose your good faith deposit. If you're okay with that, you may want to step back because it looks like overall real estate volume sales will be down maybe 10 to 15%. That's the early number out from the National Association of Realtors. I think that could actually change. I think this will all just come to a grinding halt because we're already getting information that realtors are losing showings because people don't want to go into somebody else's house. And people don't want people who they don't know going into their house. So that pretty much puts the kibosh on the real estate industry.
That makes total sense, but something I wouldn't have actually thought about until you just told me.
So we're going to have to see prices, I think, we will see coming down. And in terms of refinancing, mortgages rates aren't really going to get much lower than they are now because all banks put into place a margin. That's their profit margin of usually 2.5% to 2.75%. And so you might see a 30-year rate down somewhere between 3% and 3.5%. If that rate looks good to you, then you should go ahead and refinance. And if you think it's going to come down lower, probably won't.
What can the average person who is supporting, you know, their family and they have kids, how can the average person prepare for potential recession?
You know, one of the things that I'm seeing more people do is actually if you own a home and you have equity in your home, something that many people in Chicago may not have because of when they bought and what's happened to our housing market. But if you do, this might be the time to look at a home equity line of credit. You can take this out. Typically is, if not cost-free, it's very low cost, and then you can borrow against it. And I've actually spoken with a number of people over the weekend who have gone and tapped their home equity lines of credit just to have extra cash on hand in a savings account. So that's one thing that you can do if you actually have some home equity and you still have a job. Go do that. Set up your home equity line of credit. But there are personal loans. More of them are available, ranging from $1,500 to over $20,000 or $30,000. They typically have a term of 3 to 5 years. If you've got income security and you're worried about making payments, banks offer those, credit unions. There's some online lenders like SoFi and Payoff and OpLoans and some others that offer them. So that may be another thing, especially if you've got not great credit, you're going to pay more, but not as much as if you go to a payday lender. So sometimes it's worth looking. If you've got a really desperate need, it's worth looking at that. And then, of course, always remember to use the product with the lowest interest rate and draw on your retirement savings last.
Elise, I know that you have a lot of resources on your website, but you're also going to be offering some resources that normally cost money for free.
That's right. So we offer Best Money Moves right now. It's a financial wellness platform to companies, and we've decided that in the next 3 months, people need access to the information that we have. We have an award-winning financial education platform, and we use technology, artificial intelligence, to measure financial stress of employees and then help them dial it down by pushing the most relevant pieces of information to them to help solve the top problems that they have right at that moment. And so for the next 3 months, we're going to offer all of the technology for free. If you want this for your company, please reach out onto the website, bestmoneymoves.com, or email me directly, elise@bestmoneymoves.com, and we will get you guys set up in the next couple of days so that you can give your employees the very best information that's available.
Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves and thinklink.com. Always wonderful, wise advice. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome, G. Talk to you soon.
Like many of you, I've been incredibly blessed to have eaten very well in this city and surrounding suburbs, and was really torn between being socially responsible and also supporting all of these independent restaurant owners and the people that work in them, because they are truly like family and you do get to know them, especially if you like to visit your favorite spot over and over. One of those spots is Lula Cafe. It's been an anchor restaurant for, I think, over 20 years in Logan Square, owned by Jason Hamill. He's also the executive chef, and he also has Marisol, which is in the Museum of Contemporary Art. Both of them, of course, closed. Jason, along with many chefs, have now been posting a statement on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. It reads, thank you for your leadership today, J.B. Pritzker. Like you, we believe in prioritizing the safety of our employees and our guests. We must also call upon you to announce what you plan to do for our workers. Of course, other government leaders are tagged in these messages as well. And joining us now is Jason Hamill. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I should be asking you, how are you holding up?
We're okay. We're going to fight through.
So tell us about the statement and the message. I noticed that a whole coalition of chefs are now posting this. What do you hope to get from your government leaders?
Clarity and direction. They're the experts in the room on these issues, and we are not. We cook and food and make people happy for a living, and we don't know everything that is available to us, and we don't know exactly what to do. I mean, it's a historic crisis. I don't know how many people are now laid off, but I can only imagine the numbers are staggering. And we just want to know what to tell our employees and how best to support them, and then how best to get them back to work once we're through this.
Did you and the community have an inkling that this was going to happen?
Not only did we, we expected it was going to happen, and we certainly didn't have any inside information or anything, but many of us were electing to close regardless. It's the right thing to do, and we applaud the governor and the decision. You know, it was, it's great to see the state of Illinois leading the example in this, ahead of New York and Los Angeles, both of which have followed suit, I believe, today and last night. And we need to protect our, the planet here, and we need to make sure social distancing is in effect everywhere. This is, absolutely not a joke, and it needs to happen. So I was headed that direction regardless.
For those that may not be aware, can you describe how fragile the ecosystem of a restaurant is?
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that restaurants are I'm sure people know that, restaurants are tough businesses, and they know someone who's either worked in a restaurant or owned one. But, we operate on the slimmest margins of any business that I'm aware of, single digit margins, meaning, for every dollar we make, you're making just barely cents. And so any disruption to that, that model creates a situation where we quickly start losing money. And if we're losing money and trying to hold on to our businesses and trying to provide the support for our employees, many of whom have no support network at all, it becomes untenable. It's just it's impossible. And we shouldn't have to, this burden shouldn't be all on, you know, our backs, of course.
Are you one of the restaurants that's able to provide health care, or?
We do. Okay. We do provide health care for our employees. Not all of them, either, you know, some of them qualify and some of them don't, depending on their status. We're one of the few that do that.
And
we intend on paying for their benefits through, you know, for as long as we can. But we also don't know exactly how long this closure will be.
How have you had to lay off any employees in terms of the restaurants that you run?
We're going to have to lay off everyone.
Okay. So what are you telling your employees right now? Do they apply for unemployment? How do you reassure them?
Reassurance has been difficult because one of the reasons we made the call yesterday as a group of chefs is we would like to have details about emergency measures. Of course, we can, you know, of course there are unemployment benefits out there and people can get in line and log in and we want them to, but there needs to be more than that for the historic number of layoffs that are happening right now. We need some emergency funding for that and some quick fast tracking of the process so that they can be given benefits immediately, not in weeks or months or however long it takes to get through the process normally. And since there aren't jobs in our industry, they can't be expected to have criteria like searching for jobs.
Right.
So, these are some of the things that we would like to see. We'd also like to see, payroll tax relief would allow us to take some cash and give it to our employees and pay their benefits longer.
I'm sorry. I know that not all restaurants are equipped to do carry out, but will you guys be doing carry out? And is that one way that we can support? I'm hearing carry out and then also going ahead and buying gift certificates to use in the future.
Sure. I mean, gift certificates are definitely helpful as a cash flow. You get the money now and, you know, later you use it. So like we do need that support now and certainly it's welcome. Many of us are doing carry out and delivery options, including Lula starting Wednesday. Some people are set up for that and some aren't. So we are, and we're definitely going to work on that. And there will be a few people here doing that work starting on Wednesday.
Well, Jason, I know that this has got to be psychologically taxing because everybody you work with on your staff is like family to you. And of course, you've got your own family to think of as well. Thank you so much for talking with us and we'll check back in with you.
I appreciate the energies and support of everyone who's reached out. Thank you.
Thanks so much to Jason Hamill. He's the executive chef and owner of Lula Cafe and Marisol at the MCA. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.